Well, good morning, church. Thanks for giving me the time to talk this morning. I'm Bill. I'm a believer in the one true God. I am in addiction recovery. I am specifically in addiction recovery for pornography. When I was a young teen, there was a quick shop about a half mile from our house. I would frequently go there to spend my allowance, and while there, I would often look at the pornography magazines that were there in the store, frequently tearing out pictures and stuffing them in my pocket, taking them home and hiding them, ditching them when I did my duties of taking out the trash. And that was a start of a pattern that has been with me now for many, many years. Various other incidents throughout my teenage years were ingredients into the start of my addiction. I went to a Christian college, and pornography was not allowed, of course, and was actually a reason for expulsion. I would buy pornography off campus and then ditch the magazines before going back to the dorm. I learned to be sneaky and to hide my addiction. Following college, I married an ungodly woman. This marriage flared up the underlying issues of low self-esteem, depression, and codependency. During this time, my addiction was actively encouraged. I had subscriptions to pornographic magazines and frequently bought magazines and videos. During this time, computer porn was starting up, and I was actively involved in exchanging pornographic materials via computer bulletin boards. During this time, the addiction was real, active, and part of my everyday life. I was completely in denial. My wife wasn't going to be intimate with me, so didn't I deserve some satisfaction? I had a stash of pornographic magazines under the bed that I could access at any time, and I was always looking for the next thrill. I was emotionally disconnected from my wife, from my child, and my marriage was in trouble. A few months before the end of the marriage, she decided to move from Northwest Oklahoma to Florida to be with her latest boyfriend. In my mind, I could not accept the failure of my marriage. I had to do anything in my power to save it, so I decided to move there as well, and we moved in with her boyfriend. That was really a big highlight of my low self-esteem and codependency. After a few weeks, I came to the realization that this just was not acceptable, and I moved out. Through the divorce, I gained full custody of my daughter. During my single dad period, I continued to buy pornographic magazines and videos. I would buy materials, use them, and shamefully discard them before starting the cycle again. The next year, I remarried. At this time, regular consumer access to the internet was available, and I began accessing porn websites. I got caught at work. I was given a stern warning, and from that point forward, I never surfed porn at work because the consequences would be too high. However, I increased my usage of porn at home, frequently staying up well after everybody else had gone to bed to look at porn sites for hours. Part of me felt I wasn't hurting anybody, but another part of me was keenly aware that I was hurting my wife and family. At that time, I was 100% isolated from relationships with people outside my immediate family. And in my family, I was very neglectful. Porn was my escape from the realities of my failed marriage and from the imperfections of my new marriage. I completely shut down emotionally, and my marriage was nearly gone. My relationship with God was also pretty much gone. I attended church, but I was just going through the motions. I didn't have any connections. My prayer life was empty or non-existent. I wanted friends, but because of my addiction, I didn't feel I deserved any friends. I listened to Satan's empty threat that if anybody found out, they would judge me and hate me. I was isolated. I felt nobody cared about me. I felt that nobody could relate to me or who I was. Then in 2003, our preacher Gary preached a sermon on pornography. He quoted some very scary statistics that 70% of Christian men were involved in pornography at an addictive level. I had already planned on going forward that day to ask for prayers on behalf of a dying family member. I handed Gary the prayer request card and then confessed that I'm part of that 70%. God began a long process of change at that moment. That evening, my friend Don came over, and he and I went and had coffee for about 3 or 4 hours. He had been close to our family for several years, so had seen firsthand some of the things that were going on and could provide real insight. He showed me that he cared what was going on. I got into a secular 12-step program called Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. The healing process started, and it began to get some sobriety, even up to a year. However, since this was a secular program, the healing process only went so far. When stresses and opportunities came up, I continued to slip and fall. In 2011, we decided to move from Florida to Columbus. I started looking for a job and ended up getting one extremely fast. Our house was nowhere near ready to sell, so we decided that I would come up here and live with our daughter while my wife stayed behind in Florida to prep the house for sale. I went back every few weeks to work on the house for a weekend. This went on for a period of 5 months. As you can imagine, the loneliness associated with that separation rekindled my addiction. It was like Jesus had talked about. The house that had been swept clean and ready, the house had been swept clean and was ready for the addiction to come back stronger than ever before. I had unfettered access, and I had a room to myself. I could act out as much as I wanted, and nobody would know. I had not yet let God be real in me, despite the fact that I had previously begun healing from the addiction. When my wife finally moved up, we started coming to church here. Directly across the street at the United Methodist Church, they have a program called Celebrate Recovery. I was aware of Celebrate Recovery, and I know that it's a program for Christians who struggle with addictions of all sorts. In fact, they talk about that we deal with the three H's: hurts, habits, and hangups. God convicted me immediately that I needed Celebrate Recovery, or CR. But I didn't do anything about it. I saw the signs on their lawn for about 2 years. Then some of the men here invited me to be involved in an accountability group. They were studying Christian discipline. I readily accepted. I really wanted to be back in an accountability group like I had been in Florida. After a few months, I finally decided to start attending CR. One of the men in the group said that if Rick Warren was involved, he had strong confidence in the program. About a year and a half ago, I told my wife the addiction was back and that it had been back since I originally moved up here. I told her that I was going to start attending CR. There, my relationship with God began to get a new foundation, one built on my trust of God and my honesty with myself and with Him. God convicted me through that group that I needed to seek a Christian counselor. However, I didn't yet act on it. After attending that CR group for a few months, God convicted me that it was time for me to do a step study, an in-depth 9 to 12 month study process to apply CR's 12 steps and eight principles of recovery. That Monday, I came to CR seeking to find out how to start, intending to say something during their open share time, which is the second half of the evening. During the worship period, the first half, they announced that the men's step study had just finished. They were giving these guys their coins that said they had completed the study. When I asked about when the next group would get started with the step study, the leaders told me they just didn't know when the next men's group would start. I was really disappointed. But God convinced me to not give up. That night, I sent emails to several CR groups in the area to find out who was starting a men's step study in the near future. I got a reply from one of the groups, which brought me to the CR group at Shepherd Church of the Nazarene up in Gahanna. That first night, I met one of the men, and he was ready to start the step study whenever I was ready. We quickly coordinated, and we were started within a week. God put me in the right place when he convicted me that I was ready to do the study. I spoke earlier about God convicting me that I needed a counselor. Once I started my step study, God revealed to me that I really needed a counselor to help get through my inventory, which is the fourth step. This step states that we made a fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I had to look at the man in the mirror, and I knew I wasn't ready. I contacted a local Christian counselor organization. In fact, it's just down here at the Five Corners. They told me that only one of their counselors took my insurance. I made an appointment. When I got there, I told the counselor that I was doing the step study in CR, and that I knew that the fourth step was going to be hard, and that I was hiring him to prepare me and help me through that step. The counselor then revealed to me that he also struggles in the same way and that he had been trained in CR. What? At that point, I felt 100% sure that God had put me with the right counselor at the right time. This took away the fear of the inventory and truly allowed me to approach my inventory in a fearless manner. And as a side note, I later found out that that counselor has connections with folks here. One of my favorite scriptures is in Exodus 17. This is a time just after the Israelites had been freed from bondage in Egypt. They're going to battle against the Amalekites. I'm going to read from Exodus 17. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men to go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. This scripture tells me that I am not expected to go through this alone. There's no shame in my inability to do this alone. God provides people to help, even to the point that they help Moses to even sit down. In the process of working with my counselor, I found the aggravating factors of codependency and depression, both of which I'm truly working on. By working through the 12 steps, I learned a lot about myself. I learned how to be honest with myself. I learned that I don't have to run, and in fact, I can't run from God. I have begun to explore, address, and tear down the underlying issues in my addiction, and to start getting some sobriety. One of the biggest things I learned is that God has placed others around me to fight for me. Another favorite scripture is a situation where the Israelite capital of Samaria was surrounded by an enemy. They were under siege with no hope. This is from 2 Kings 6. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This passage is huge for me. I don't necessarily see all of the things God is doing to protect me or to fight for me, but they're already there in place. My relationships with others are changed in amazing ways. I've become transparent with many brothers, including many at work. The people who have been through this struggle with me are lifetime brothers and friends. I now journal regularly. I take a few minutes to reflect on my day and unload. The most amazing thing is my relationship with God. I now can say that there truly is one. It is no longer a false walk, and it comes out in my day-to-day activities. Because of this transformed relationship with God, I now have many godly friends. He has restored my joy. He has granted me healing and relief. He shows himself to me, the sovereign God who is supreme over everything. He is actively interested in me. So what did it take? I had to be all in. I approached recovery with a new mind that was provided by God. I used my accountability group, my counselor, Celebrate Recovery, the 12-step study group, journaling, and of course, prayer. God used these together to bring healing, reconciliation, and recovery. And this recovery and restoration is available to everybody who seeks it. And this time, I'm going to hand off to Travis.
Good morning, everybody. Not only am I part of the accountability group that Bill spoke of, but also I am recovering from porn addiction. And to be honest, this for me coming up here took a long time to discuss it with you all, my family. And the reason being is I had apprehensions about the effects or the, not so much on me, but on my family, on my wife, on my children, to have them scrutinized because way back when, my path is very similar to Bill's, of when I got started, what it did and all that. They're almost similar. But to be in a position that I am, I was afraid of what it would do to my children and to my wife. I sat down with them on Wednesday after I talked to Dion. I talked to Wendy at Lane, and I asked her, what do you think? Should I or shouldn't I share my story, my struggles? She told me flat out, do what you need to do. If you think it's right, it's right. Didn't help me answer the question. Go figure, you get a question for a question. I think that's marriage and life in general. Then I had the opportunity on Thursday to sit down with my boys and to openly admit to my two boys that I am not perfect. They know. We've had the discussion about alcohol. I recover from it too. I've been 20 plus years sober there, but before then, I can't tell you 4 years of my life because I stayed drunk. I didn't stay sober. I was more drunk than sober. So my personality, even though my counselor says it's an addictive one, isn't in a good sense. It's because sometimes I don't know when to stop. But talking to my children, I said to Alex and Nathan, I said, hey, here's the deal. I have the opportunity to present some real life facts about your dad. They're not the pretty picture ones. They're not the ones that you have to where you go out and throw it on a billboard. It's, I am flawed. I have an issue, and my issue is I'm recovering from porn addiction. Nathan was supportive of it. Alex looked right at me and said, if you can help somebody, you have to do it. I have to say, I struggled a long time to come up here. But when Alex told me that, I look at him and I say, you know, this is a 15-year-old that got in front of you all 2 months ago and challenged you. And here I am, 40-some years old, cowering in a corner, afraid of what you'll think. But when some things happened to Bill, Bill had the opportunity to come up and speak. He had some speakers back out. And we were talking about it last Sunday. And for some reason, I said, you need somebody to talk, I'll talk. I had the opportunity for the devil to get back into my life and throw that block up again to help me figure out, this is my last step. This is the step that I really need. Is because I'm transparent at work. I don't know if too many people at work don't know how many addictions that I fight because it helps out the guys I deal with every day. But also, they hold me accountable to be a better person. My accountability group, they laugh. They say I'm the Gibbs of the group. I'm the one that when it's hitting a fan and you really got to have the real life discussion, I'll have it. I'm not afraid to challenge. I'm not, and I want them to challenge me, and they have. So really, 3 points of all this for me was, it was the hard part of admitting I had an issue. About 2 years ago, it was a Sunday morning. I remember it very, very well. I walk in, Wendy's getting ready to come to church. I'm already dressed, and I said, we need to talk. Now, mind you, we've been married 23 years. My addiction's been going on a lot longer than we've been married. She had no idea. And I admitted to her. Now, I think most men, most husbands would have been coming in with either a black eye, broke arm, or something else. But she didn't. She said, what are you going to do about it? you know, what do? You sit there and say, oh, I don't know. No. At that time, I was getting with Bill and Jason as accountability group, and I said to them, I said, okay, I need to start somewhere. Will you help me? And they did. I was afraid. I knew I had this problem for years, and it wasn't until I started with this church that it actually bothered me. So this church has a big, very deep meaning to me. Not only has it made me a better person, but it has made me challenge every being, of every fiber of my being, to what I thought was right or wrong. It's made me better. That admitting to her and the subsequent discussions, the lengthy discussions we had, had to be done. You can't go through this alone. Because I tried. Yeah, I got it. I got this. I just won't get on the computer. I won't go there. I won't go here. It doesn't work. Because you have nobody to reach out there and say, excuse me, why are you going there? Or, okay, you failed. What's your plan to recover? I think in all of this, the importance that Bill spoke of with CR, with the accountability groups, the counselors. I have my own counselor. Originally, it was for something else, but now it's turned out to where, though he's not a Christian counselor, he knows my faith is very deep with this church. He knows how much this church means to me. So the last 20 minutes of every discussion is spent on my relationship with this church and my relationship of getting out of my habits, my funks, whatever you want to call them. But you have to have somebody to be able to go to. And that trust has to be that that person that you go to will not be going out and talking to somebody else about it. So having that type of relationship, CR is a great one. You walk in, I mean, to be honest with you, and I've told Dion, I've attended a couple of the, over with Summer Rae's. There are times that I feel more comfortable in a room with recovering addicts, with people just starting their struggles, than I am in this church. Because they understand me. They know that I'm not perfect. There's not an expectation that you walk on water, that you have to have that Christian label that you are perfect. That's where I think we need to be at. We need to be to where somebody can come up here, forget the judgments, forget everything like that, and them say, I need help. And we say, you know what, brother, we're here. Sister, we're here. We want to help you. We will do whatever it takes. There's been many times in the beginning, I called Jason at work. He picked up the phone. We talked. There's been times Bill and I, both Bills, we talk. And it doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter when. It might be a quick little, hey, how's your day going on a text message? It's going fine. But if it's not, hey, we need to talk. Bill and I get together on Thursday mornings to share a donut. And more than one, mind you. But some days, we don't, it's like, hey, everything's going good. We talk about the job. But other days, it's like, dude, really? I am struggling and it is hitting hard. Where do I go from here? And we talk. So that's one part of it. And the other part of it is, you know, we both have plans. The original plan is not the same as it is today because things change. You know, before it was, can I make it an hour? Can I make it 2 hours? Can I make it three? So on and so forth. Now, I made it today. Do I make it tomorrow? Then, now, it's, I've made it a month. How do I make another month? But hypervigilance and understanding that I need to know that the devil's not going to give up on me. Believe me. He has not made this an easy one. Giving up alcohol, I walked away cold turkey. It was easy. Giving this up has been a fight. He doesn't want to lose, but I don't want him to win either. And I don't lose many times. And the thing about Liz is I know that I will not lose as long as I continue to be open and honest with my accountability group. And now I have added another layer to my accountability, and that's every single one of you sitting in your seats today. You are now another, whether you like it or not, you are another layer to my defense. So you have permission to ask me how it's going. You have permission to say, you know, where are you? How many days has it been? Now, honestly, I won't be able to tell you because I don't count the days. I'm hoping to get to where I'm counting the years, but it's one day at a time. So I thank you for your time.
I'm going to ask Bill and Travis to come back up here, and I'm putting your group on the spot. If you don't want to identify yourself, you don't have to, but I'd love for your accountability group to come up if you're here and you'd like to. come on. So first of all, thank you. It took a tremendous amount of courage and bravery and risk to share what you share. Yep. And what's key throughout both of their stories is God and other people. Did y'all hear how many times other people was part of that? See, church is not a by myself thing. It's a people thing. It's a plural thing. I also think it's appropriate to affirm two very, very powerful and strong people. And that's Martha Raper and that's Wendy Mensler. Where is Wendy? There she is. And Alex and Nathan, for the way that you have stuck by both of these men during a very difficult thing. I don't want to belabor. I want to ask a couple questions. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who I've quoted, and I've made this quote to you several times, I think one of the most powerful quotes of the 20th century. He says that the most dangerous place that any person can be is alone with their sin. Because Satan is determined to get us to be alone with our issue. I know you speak of Gary's sermon in Florida being instrumental in saying something, and other. But what drives you to want to share your struggle? I mean, again, it took a lot of courage for you to want to stand in front of us today and share. But what drove you to want to share that?
So one of the things that makes me want to share this is the fact that there are a huge number of people that struggle the same way. And as Travis said, if I can help one person get started on the path to recovering and healing, then it's my duty.
Cool.
It's my duty to share what God's given.
And how often do you guys meet just for?
We meet every Sunday morning.
Every Sunday morning at 8:30. Okay,
yeah.
Are there days you're like, I feel like going, it's 8:30, do I have to go? Are there days like
that? Yes, those days are definitely there. Yeah. And usually those are the days that I really need to be there.
Huh. Bill, Bradley, do you guys want to share anything as accountability partners? Is there something you'd like to add to your experience in holding these men accountable in your gatherings?
More than anything, I'm just humbled by their courage and their honesty and their openness, the transparency. I urge, we call it an accountability group, but really it's simply inviting someone you're close to hold you to your best. We've spoken about addictions. Our accountability group, addictions can be a part of it, but it is holding each other to our best. It's Travis refers to being the give to the group, the attack dog. Hey, look, but it's we hold each other accountable to what we each invite the other. If there's not an invitation, it's off limits. And yeah, there are a lot. I struggle with getting to 8:30 on time, and I usually have to start with an apology for being late. But yeah, it's in my life, it's been a tremendous thing to be held accountable, to be held to my best, yeah, it's been great. It's great.
Cool. Any words?
Things that I like that what Bill touched on there, and that is that I like being amongst a group of people who love me enough to challenge me.
Cool. Any final words, Travis? City?
Me a loss for words. That's a first. It's just that the hardest part of today for me was starting. And that's the hardest part for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can start and you reach out, it doesn't have to be a group like this. It could be one-on-one. It could be as simple, if you don't want anybody to know your business, that's fine. I understand that one. Attend a CR. There's many different programs out there. Attend one. Do something. Just don't sit there and, you know, my life has become so much better. I tell you this, my relationship with my wife has exponentially grown because I have sat here and I have looked myself in the mirror and said, enough is enough. I need to be a better husband and a better father and a better Christian. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me. I remember when it clicked for me. I was coaching a bunch of fifth graders, and for the first time, I wasn't coaching any of my kids because they took up too much of my time. So I'm sitting there, and I'm preaching to them, saying, listen, you really need to, you know, hold yourself accountable. If you're supposed to be over here, you need to be there. We need to trust everybody. How could I do that when I was faltering, when I would go home and drop back into my addiction? So for me, that was my starting point. So everybody's is different, but you got to come up with one.
I just want to thank you all for the words you've shared, for this, you know, this is church. Do y'all get that? This is church. I like the singing part, and I like the preaching part, and I like the, but this is real talk. This is church, and it's not just about addictions. It's about anything that pushes you to a place where you feel like the safest place for me to be is by myself and alone. Might be depression. It might be a feeling of worth that's just non-existent. Whatever it is, community is the way towards healing. So listen, we have hurts, but man, we have a hope in God that God is going to rescue us, and He often rescues us by using other people. And so there's healing and help. There's accountability. There's affirmation. There's all these things. So. Praise God for groups like this. This isn't the only group. I know there's other people here who are involved in some level of accountability or covenant. I need it, or I can't. I'm no good to you if I don't have covenant partners, okay? And so my encouragement to everyone listening and hearing this is wherever you're at in life, even if you think I'm issue-less, you still need other people to be in covenant with. Is that all right? Is that truth? Is that helpful? Is that helpful? All right, thank you, brothers, for As a part of, I typically give like a benediction. I want to ask Bill and Jay if you want to make your way toward the stage now, praise team as well. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you want to respond, if you want prayers, maybe you have an addiction, maybe you have an issue, maybe you have a problem, maybe you're lonely, maybe you're hurting, and you desire some of God's healing, grace, and you want us to pray for that, please, by all means, step forward, and we will gather around you. And as the benediction, I just want to ask both Bill and Jay, to offer a benedictory prayer, a shepherd's blessing, and include in that blessing just gratitude for the courage of Bill. I want you to know this is about two months in the making. There's been a lot of thought that went into this, and I thank you so much, brother, for sparking what I hope to be a conversation that will never cease. So after we stand and sing the song, if you want to respond, if you need prayer, if you want a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, you want to study or read the Bible, whatever you want to do, you want to enter into a period of discipleship and learn what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we want to offer you that opportunity. So let's stand and let's sing this song about brokenness and healing.